See, here's Renee. Renee never calls in, but is that Renee out there? And no, that's Mateo.
Hey, Bob.
Right?
Yeah, it's Mateo. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a question?
Well, I was trying to locate my flipper. Is Ion able to help locate that for me?
Flipper? What is it?
Oh, it's like denture. It goes in my mouth.
In your laundry.
Okay.
Well, here's Tim. Okay, Tim, you got a question?
Ion, did the asshole I'm thinking of sexually molest my niece?
No.
No? Okay. And is there a optimal way to handle this contrast I've been having with my parents?
Describe it a little more. We don't see it as contrast. We see if they have an opinion, you won't capitulate.
They have an opinion, and I won't capitulate?
How do you see it?
I see it that my mother was abusive.
And she doesn't.
She doesn't see it that way? She feels justified in her behavior?
Well, now, wait a second. Now you're making a value judgment. We're talking about this. Go ahead.
My mother was abusive. I would say that she's abusive.
Okay, that's your opinion. Good.
Okay. And she doesn't see it that way. She feels justified in the actions that she took.
Well, now, wait a second. Now you're arguing. Slow down just a second. You're making this a great big evil demon thing, and it's not necessarily unless you make it. Otherwise, go and kill yourself and get over with it. Stop all this bad bullshit. Get over it. We're going to be abusive with you a little bit and shake yourself and come back into your place of power. Get happy in this life or get the fuck out. You turn around here and you just made a mess of everything. You continually do this all the time. Slow down and all this mess. It's not all about you. The world isn't about you. It's about you in this world, getting you up to this place in this world. So get rid of all this dogmatic blah of how you got hurt and wounded and wound up upside down. And they paddled my little hand a little harder than I wanted to get paddled. She ought to slap the shit out of you, and then you'd have known, you'd have felt better. She didn't do enough. She'd done a little more. You should have come back into your place a little quicker. But that, even that sounds horrible. But you see how abusive that is? So how terrible that is? It's not like that. Come on. Come back to the land of the living. You'll be all right.
So I'm not seeing the situation accurately. Is that what you're saying?
You are precisely inaccurate. That's correct.
I am inaccurate in the way the whole situation took place.
But of course. Of course, of course.
Okay, is there a process that would allow me to see things clearly?
Yeah, perfect imperfection, Bob. Do perfect imperfection. That'll solve it.
That's a shocker, Tim. Everything you perceived about whatever's going on with your mother is not accurate. But Ion saying don't even worry about it. Don't even think about it. You know, Ion said something really good. It's in one of Roxy's latest videos. Where somebody was asking about, is this the age of Aquarius, this or that? What's the name of the age? And Ion says, living. So humanity's never lived before. This new reality allows humans to live for the first time. No categories.
Yes, but there's also a thing called vengeance and recompense.
Perfect imperfection.
Now they canceled their funding, too.
Perfect,
they don't have any funding.
Perfect imperfection. Perfect imperfection. Play it, Bob.
Perfect imperfection.
That's what he wants. That's what he wants. Play that. It's in your inbox.
Would you say, Ion, that I owe folks an apology for the way I've been perceiving this situation? Is that accurate?
You ought to be on your knees, hands and knees, begging their abject forgiveness.
He wants this played. Let's just play this for a second.
This will help you. Get the words. Get the words, y'all.
Kevin Gates, Perfect Imperfection.
I will. My emotions on my sleeve, you know what I'm saying? I see them. I always been like that. My whole life, right? If I fuck with you, I'm all the way out there. If I don't fuck with you, I don't mind you knowing I don't fuck with you.
thinking I'm a key of coke. I ain't never seen a boat. Cause I got circumcised, thinking I'ma need a load. Whoopie, he a shooter, hit the top of your medulla. From a scooter with a Ruger, I don't think he even need a scope. Attending college been a goal that I'm after. Evaded doing life without parole, wearing shackles. I'm only fucking with what matters. A washed up rapper talking trash, doesn't matter. Front windshield of the car when it shatters. My nigga brains blowed out, laying in my lap. Told God, take me, everybody blame me. Praying till I'm prayed out, won't bring them back. They say my life is amazing. Funny, been a question, kinda wonder how I made it. Forrest Gump and I got something in common. The world treats you different. We ain't booted up on Miley, we don't do shrooms. All we do is fans dance loud as kills. Twin turbo 911 make it vroom vroom. We in all black, my mechanic make the tool move. Say you sip lean, yeah, I do too. I ain't tryna eat your cup, nigga, do you? I'm Michael Jackson, I'm reincarnated. I channel this spirit like I lead the greatest. Medicine or marijuana, am I medicated? Aerosmith jaded. She look like Nala when she got on top me. I gazed in her eyes and responded. Can we go half on a baby? Broke another fingernail, scratching on my back. Neighbor to the ceiling when I'm pushing on a pelvis. See my tattoo of elbows when I'm tying up a cat. Man, she down. I'm a perfect imperfection, my craft has been perfected, and I just need affection. Emotionally, I'm an introvert, but it come off as aggression. No one understand me, and everybody can be slow. It's refreshing to find someone who think like me, so I can't be wrong. I'm a perfect imperfection, and I don't find interest in the radio. Sometimes I get high, watch the time pass by, like away we go. Is it okay to cry when you die in inside? Like codeine is the one thing that he'll take my mind from. Point the flame in my brain with the full clip. Drake saying Gates do his thing, he don't bullshit. All you other niggas rap about is bullshit. Studio on drugs and you get all in your feelings. Look into your eyes, nigga, you ain't never living. Always talking, cooking dope, nigga, ever had heartache. Ever lost money, learning how to cook all base. Ever grind hard, trying to pay for your lawyer. Get them paid off and you see it go to jail. And the bitch that you love don't pick up when you call her. Fuck with your nigga when you get out in your dogger. Go on with your move with a nigga, you don't argue. Came here to die in the game, I'm retarded. No one's got a name, I ain't know I'm with the color. I'm a three-way to call, chopping game, me a father. Freeman, I look up to you, nigga, and I love you. Know you lost your parents, but with me, you got a brother. Malachi, Chris Sprite, Arsene Trap. Cousin Lil Quick telling me he wanna rap. Uptown B's in the White House administration. Get the paper, hand to see Teresa and scrap. When the seatbelt strap, make it hard to lean back. Sitting up straight in the cars with the shades on. Young Seven with the Jets, and now my main man gone. I was doing time up in Ripples when he came home. Now I'm waiting on a nigga for the get out of line. No dropout, we jump out and dump where you grind. Excuse me, I meant to say where you spend time. You too scared to hustle, you just wasting time. I used to spend nights with Khalil and Jaquincy. Now his brother fuck with the ones who against me. Stop making threats, cause I swear I hate living. You say you don't like me, well shut up or kill me. Well shut up or kill me. You say you don't like me, well shut up or kill me. Bitch, shut up or kill me. I'm a perfect imperfection. My craft has been perfected, and I just need affection. Emotionally, I'm an introvert, but it come off as aggression. No one understand me, and everybody can't be slow. It's refreshing to find some old thing like me, so I can't be wrong. I'm a perfect imperfection, and I don't find interest in the radio. Sometimes I get high, watch the time pass by, like away we go. Is it okay to cry when you die in inside? Seems like codeine is the one thing that helped take my mind from the line.
Excellent. Did you make out any of that, Tim?
I'll have to go back and re-listen to the song. It wasn't very clear in the phone. But I'll go back and revisit the lyrics. But the only reason I asked is because in my private session, my private engagement with Ion, he told me about my mother, and I came to some conclusions based on what he told me. And I asked him if he was joking, and he said, of course not, they weren't joking. So it made me think back to a few instances early on.
Is Ion contradicting what he said about your mother before,
no.
Tim?
No. Pardon? No, we are not. He's developed it into a whole other thing.
Okay, so I developed it. I took it way off track. Is that what you're saying, Ion?
Yeah, he made it huge, and it's not.
Oh, I made it huge, and it's not that big of a deal.
Right. And he complained that his mother wouldn't listen to him, and he can't even know the reason. She stopped talking to him because he wouldn't miss paying attention to what she was saying.
Okay, yeah, I did interrupt her when she told me I didn't have the story right, and I was enraged.
That's
at that
right.
point.
She's exactly right.
So she was going to explain the real situation to me.
She was just trying to share it with you. It wasn't personal. It wasn't a big thing.
Okay, so I could revisit that.
If you want to.
And so that fabulous wrist-riding dog that I had when we were kids.
Yes.
When she chewed up my mother's shoes and shat on the carpet, was there a point she was trying to make?
Yes.
And that, that point, Bob, this is serious, man. This is real stuff, Bob.
Well, when I'm laughing, I'm learning. It means it's serious.
Oh, okay.
When I'm laughing, it's serious.
Well, Ion spoke about my dog, and she had a battle with my mother. The dog was probably smarter than all of us realized at that time. She took on some battles for us as children that we were unaware of, and I felt that that was one battle that the dog engaged against my mother on the behalf of myself, or mostly for on behalf of my youngest brother. Is that accurate, Ion?
We're showing you how you interact with your mother, and we're just not paying attention to you anymore.
Okay, more learning.
Show me how.
And that should enrage you, so now that'll enrage you. And so now we're being hard on you, too, and Elvis is dead, and you're not feeling good yourself, and you're reincarnated like Michael Jackson and Ali Abadi. You say you don't like me, well, then shut up or kill me. And then there you go from there. Perfect imperfection. You got it.
Okay, I was just...
No excuses, Tim. You've had your dressing down. Take it like a woman.
Soften this up. Soften this up and get right. Get jiggy with it. Get happy. You're spending all your time finding how to be unhappy. You know how to be unhappy. Get happy. Okay.
All right.
Which street should I work on next? Which street is this club I should be working on at, located?
Poplar.
Poplar Street? Is that in New York City?
Lord, suffering cats. Now he wants to know where the street is. You don't even know where you want to work. Stuttgart. It's in Stuttgart. Early on, it's Poplar Street in Stuttgart.
Poplar Street in Stuttgart.
Yeah,
that's where I should be. That's where I should be working.
Yeah, with for Hermann Göring.
Well, Carol said that. Carol said he's joking. He's joking. Well, throw your bit in, Carol.
You asked us a question. Which street? Which club street should you work on? Then we told you Poplar Street, and now you want to know. Well, now. What was the intersection of that street, and exactly what was the address of the street, in which country or province was that in? Can we have the area code of the telephone so I can look it up in the directory? Just go with it. You know what you want to do? Find that street. It'll find you. When you bump into that one, that's the one. It's easy. Get on a plane and don't land until you find it on the map.
All right. Go ahead, Jim. Jim's a new person here. You have some questions, Jim?
We've been having our conversations and been talking about activism. You suggested that I come on and just put the word out, activism, talk about it. And in particular, we have this very interesting situation in California where the California legislature has passed a law mandating vaccination for children with about 60 different vaccines. And the whole community is in quite an uproar, so how to respond to that and what to do with it. I guess we've had about 6 or 8 or 10 of these conversations between you and I and a couple of others about what the way is to relate to something like that in a community where something like that is happening. And I said, call and ask Ian. So here I am.
Do you need more details, Ian? Well, how should the community respond? Or how should Jim and his activist friends respond?
Everyone should go get vaccinated, and you won't have anything to fight about.
Did you hear that, Jim?
Yep, I heard that.
Advocacy, you're talking about boycotting, you're talking about championing, and effective change, influence peddling, involvement, log rolling, militancy, moving and shaking, picketing, striking. What do you want to do?
Well, none of those things add up to anything I think is going to work.
So there's synonyms. We can't even say it. We don't sure you.
I just muted Ian. I might have missed a syllable, Ian, but maybe it's okay.
We
go ahead.
that those words we just gave were synonyms for activism. And he said none of those words are what he's trying to do. And you called on this call to talk about activism. So maybe we don't know.
Well, we had the concept, the way that the conversations got started with Bob when we started a few months ago. I guess, I don't know, but what, about 10 weeks ago, something like that? It was someone else who created the concept, let's talk about activism. What I'm looking for is when I see a situation where we have two parts of the community or more, maybe there's more than that, very intensely involved in a particular side of something that they see as two-sided. You know, you got to get vaccinated. We don't want to get vaccinated. It's a particular issue. What I try to think about is what ways are there to integrate what it is that both sides are arguing for. In this instance, I'm starting with the fact that I would assume that everyone in the in these battles, I mean, it sounds to me like everyone on all the different sides of this particular conflict are all saying we want our children to have happy lives and be healthy. And so what I'm tossing into the discussion here is, what are your thoughts or what's your experience or what's your suggestion? I think that's very interesting about everyone going to get vaccinated. That's a very interesting thought. But that's not going to wash well with a whole bunch of the folks that are in this struggle. I'm trying to think of a way that we can have people or discover a way that we can have people strongly committed to opposite sides of the same action come together in a way that they can actually come up with something that they can both embrace. I mean, that's kind of the way I'm looking at it.
If they're scared of a shot, then guess what? Something else may also kill them. If they're scared of a shot, something else may kill them. We're saying ascend. We're saying don't worry about any of that. We say get over that crap, because it's a bunch of crap. Take the poison. Take the blue pill. You'll be great.
So, Jim, Ian's saying he's not supporting the refuse vaccination side. And so Ian's taking sides here in a way. See,
well,
fear is a bigger problem.
Maybe. Yeah, exactly. Maybe. I'm not sure that it's taking sides. I mean, I understand what he's saying. I would say the question that raises is, how do you go from where we are now, where we find the people now, to that state which Ian just described?
How do you get rid of the fear?
That would be a good way to put it. How do you address the fear? I don't agree, but how do you address the fear?
A good case of German measles ought to do it, Bob.
German what? Measles. Should do
measles.
What? Make everybody afraid?
Give them
actually, the measles did happen in California.
Ta-da.
And you know, Jim, Ian said they had something to do with that. They actually tried to distract everybody by encouraging the measles. Didn't you imply that, Ian?
We do. We support measles.
So, Jim.
Yes, sir.
There's your answer. Fear. Fear's the issue. Discourage fear. Now, is there another kind of question you got about, you know, the people you're up against in Washington? I mean, you had a lot of experience there. Maybe something about the bureaucracy you're interested in.
Well, what do you take of this political situation we have here?
What do you think the problem with socialism is that sooner or later you'll run out of other people's money? So will they.
What is your take on the Chief Justice of the United States, John Roberts? He seems to be all over the board these days.
Well, he's the most liberal conservative you'll ever conservatively liberate.
He's quadriphenic.
Just
quadriphenic?
Yeah, he's all over the place. He doesn't have a position.
Oh, yes, he has all positions.
Is he forced to be that way under our present situation, or is it because Washington's bankrupt? What is the reason he's that way, Ian?
It's all just distractions. It's all just distractions. Now it's legal for everybody to get married, and now they're fixing to outlaw fucking. So, man, what you going to do?
Outlaw fucking? Is that what he said, Kyle?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Jim.
Is the state that Robert's in, is that a more developed state, or is that a regressive state? Is that a state where he's behind, or is he ahead of us?
Well, he hasn't decided if he's pitching or catching as yet.
Will he decide?
Well, when he decides, he'll have to decide. So he hasn't decided. So if he decided, then he'll have to ask Miss Bader Ginsburg her opinion.
What do you think of her opinions?
We think maybe Ruth's cool. She's just messed up, too, so it's all right.
It's a pretty post-human problem to be a traditional judge, is what you're saying, Ion. Too many factors involved? Too much confusion? Too many environments to address?
Every time they legislate morality, they bump into these problems, hey?
Is this court, the way that it's going, moving in a direction that is more toward the way things are going to be, or is it trying to hold back that kind of movement?
We're amazed anybody cares. Who gives a flying, flipping fuck what the Supreme Court of the United States of America thinks about people fucking? Well, who cares about that? Who cares?
What should we care about?
Ascending. And if you get ascending, you won't have to worry about your vaccinations. You won't have to worry about your Obamacare. You won't have to worry about which, Greece and Eryklion and Santorini are taken. But they'll divvy the other ones up in a silent auction that's coming up. But now Eryklion and Santorini, they're taken already, just so everybody knows they're off the table. But everything else is available. But they'll care about those kind of things. And then you'll figure out that Angela Merkel did want to run the world and that we thought Eleanor Roosevelt would be wonderful on the $10 bill.
What's your guidance for how individuals who are focused on ascending relate to the other individuals who are lagging back or pushing against that?
Fuck them. You see, don't engage it. It's the same. If it goes away, you're right. You win. Vaccinations kill you. Okay. We're going to make you take vaccinations. Okay. We're going to kill you. Okay. Okay. Then after a little while, everybody's like, well, why are we fighting? We don't know. They're going to kill us. Okay. Well, they're going to kill you anyway. And after some time, the dead ones are all going to be gone. And when the dead ones are gone, they won't complain about the vaccinations that they didn't get. So if you're not going to die from not getting vaccinated, you might as well die something nice.
How do you pass that message along to the people who are afraid of the vaccinations?
You don't. You kill them. And then you won't have to discuss it anymore.
See, Jim said, all right, believe there's any death.
They think they're going to die anyway. You're helping them out.
What does that mean when you say they're going to die anyway if there's no death?
We say that's what they're afraid of. They're afraid that taking that into them is going to hurt them. And we say then they're not ascended anyway. We don't care.
Okay, I'm trying to keep up, trying to understand. So you just write off everyone else. Just say, well, too bad for them.
Well, it's pretty much too bad for them already anyway, isn't it? Just kind of clean.
Nothing you can do about it, I take it.
Gloom.
Or nothing can be done about it.
As you know me, deep, dark depression, excessive misery. And if it weren't for thimerosal, you'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on you.
Just a minute ago, I was hearing Bob was saying this is the first time human beings have had a chance to be alive. How does that fit into this picture?
Where you live in a state without fear, where you live in a place that knows where Poplar Street is. It's great.
Living without fear.
You're saying living is being fear-free? Is that what Diego
yeah.
was?
The construct of living fear-free. Well, if you do this, we're going to do this to you. Okay, go ahead. Well, if we do this, we're going to do this to you. Okay, go ahead. Well, if you do this, we're going to do this. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Then after a little while, they're like, well, what do we got to do to upset you? You can't upset me. I don't care. well, we're going to upset you, and that's upsetting to us because you should be upset because we're going to do bad things to you. We're going to show you. We're going to do it. Okay, go ahead. Do what you want to do. The same thing that Jesus, don't go against God, the same thing that Jesus told to Judas, the thing that you're going to do to me, go ahead and do it. Go and do it quickly. Let's get this part passed. Now, our whole long life, however long or short, we are no longer ever going to have this conversation again. How very wonderful. You numb it all. You quench it. You quench it. You solve it. You settle it. Come on, badass motherfucker, let's go. You want to go? Let's go. Don't fuck with me unless you really want to fuck. Then what happens? All of a sudden, you take the heatness out of the fire. Now, the people who think they're helping you by giving you a vaccination change it all around. Now, all of a sudden, it's not such a big thing. It's not such a big to-do. You will evolve. You don't have polio doctors anymore, do you?
Is that because of the vaccination?
We don't know. We think it's intention.
We think it's from messing with the statistics.
Yes, those statistics have killed a lot more than doctors have, we assure you.
Is there anything that anybody should take seriously in this dimension?
Hold on. Death by Modern Analytics. That's a book. You can do that, Dr. B.
Modern Analytics?
Yeah, Death by Modern Analytics.
I don't know if you got my question. Is there anything that people in this or beings in this dimension should be concerned about? They should put their time and energy into?
They say my life is amazing. Funny, been a question, kind of wondering how I made it. Forrest Gump and I got something in common. The world treats you different when brilliant. I am a perfect imperfection. My craft has been perfected. I just need affection. Emotionally, I'm an introvert, but it comes off as aggression. No one understands me, and everybody can be slow. It's refreshing to find someone who thinks like me, so I can't be wrong. I'm a perfect...
I like to quote lyrics,
Jim. Interest in the radio. So every time I get high, I watch time pass by like away we go. It's okay to cry when you're dying inside. Seems like codeine is the one thing that can help take my mind from the lies. You see? And then what happens is you come all the way back in. It's real simple. The thing to do is move beyond those things. And then you don't have to worry about what you're doing to your children. You don't have to legislate it.
Is there anything that should be legislated?
Delegislation should be legislated.
Yeah, you should legislate that there's no rules, Jim.
But hell, look at that. Even that's a rule. No rules is still a rule.
Were you quoting from Perfection and Perfection, or did you overlay another song, Ion?
No, that was Perfect Imperfection by Kevin Gibbs.
Yes, yeah, very... very long lyrics. Well, not that long.
But
looks long.
Go right through it. Go right through it. I'm only fucking with what matters, Bob.
What matters?
My nigga brain's blown out, land in my lap. Told God take me, everybody blame me. Praying till I'm prayed out. Won't bring him back. That matters.
So, Jim, try another topic.
What's your take on sex in this dimension?
All of it. Take it all, baby.
That's a good thing that matters?
Nothing, honey.
Yeah, I like sex. Well, he likes humans having sex.
Mm-hmm. It's almost time. Once the sun goes down there, you can get your clothes off. It'll be great.
And you said do a new subject, Bob, so I tried to get as far away from where we were before.
No, that's good.
We're not worrying your thing. We just don't care. And we're not going to be the spokeschild for it or against it. We think that if you got rid of vaccinations, they'll make up something really nasty that'll really kill you. And we support that, too. So we are for that. Yes, get rid of all vaccinations. Destroy them. Take them away. Calgon, take them away. And then when you really get to the place, when you really amp it up to where you have to ascend or die, maybe that's what you want to do. Okay, make sure you get rid of all that vaccinations. Outlaw them. Get Mr. Kennedy, your little buddy, Mr. Kennedy. He can put it right through his chamber. And the next thing you know, everybody's going to jump on the board and it'll all be made illegal, legal or illegal or legal, legal or double legal or jeopardized or double jeopardy or un-jeopardy. Or, oh, wait, that's Alex Trebek. That's another jeopardy, Dan. Do what you're going to do, and then something worse will happen to replace it. So the energy that it takes trying to convert the world is just going to go and kill itself. But that's what they're going to do. Go and kill yourself. That's your mantra. What do you think, sir? We want to put this down in the record forever. Here's what I think. I think you should go and kill yourself. Then we don't have to talk about this no more. Then the end of the song, it says, you say you don't like me, well, shut up and kill me. Bitch, shut up or kill me. It's real easy. It's good. And that's not
is that extreme sounding, Jim?
Not yet.
No, because that's what's really happening. That's why everybody's running around shooting up people. They're running into churches and shooting up people. And then they piss God off, and he starts striking black churches with lightning and blaming it on the KKK. How about that?
I get a feeling, or I understand, or I sense the dynamic of, you know, what's being described. The question I'm having is about the transition from where humanity is now to where it's going. What's the process, or what's the dynamic for doing that? I mean, I can understand, yeah, unless everybody don't take vaccines, or everybody do take vaccines, but all of humanity is not moving along at the same rate here. Some people are ahead and some people are behind. How do you integrate that? How does that work together?
We don't see that way. We see them all as ascended. So the question or the limitation that you're arguing for, we don't absolve. We don't say you're more less than and another less than. You argue for those positions, not us.
Are you saying then that humanity is like one being or one entity? All of humanity.
Indian man, it's like one big chili fart. We're just trying to get it out.
Okay, I can see that.
Have many religious prophets, Zion, that we know about, said the same thing as you're saying? That man's just a chili fart? We're trying to get it out?
Mm-hmm.
Is that an ascended position? Ascending position?
In the winter of 65, we were hungry and just barely alive. By the May the 10th, Richmond had failed. It's time I remember so well. The night they drove old Dixie down.
The band. I know that song is the band.
Mm-hmm.
Did they create that song, Guy, Jim? Or was that a classic?
It was created, but I don't know if they created it or not.
Okay, I am. Ralph Nader, does he understand what you're saying? Is he indifferent to what's happening now? Did he?
By God, you didn't have this trouble when Strom Thurmond was running things, I'll tell you that.
You know Strom Thurmond, Jim, right?
Oh, yeah, sure. He's the racist that had a black mistress and had a baby and supported her for his whole life.
See? Yeah, how can you get better than that?
Yeah, he was the most famous segregationist in American contemporary living in the last part of the 20th century. And the whole time that he was out being a racist publicly, he was supporting his daughter, who was a school teacher in Oakland, California. And she said she didn't become alive until he died.
Ta-da! There you go. And every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
Was Strom Thurmond ascending ion?
He's still working on it, but he's doing okay. He's getting around a lot better now.
Is Ralph Nader ascending?
Nah, he's just an old curmudgeon. Somewhere falling in between the LaRouche quadrant and the William Irwin Thompson quadrant.
He's talking about my chart, Jim.
Not really.
Well,
not
ask
really
about LaRouche, Jim.
Not really committed
to either.
What about LaRouche?
He's afraid that the Queen's going to put something very nasty in the vaccine that's going to go in his bum.
LaRouche?
Yeah, he's afraid of the Queen. Yeah. That's true. He writes about the Queen all the time. You know that, Jim.
Yeah. No, I'm thinking about LaRouche. He's a funny character because I know a lot of people who knew LaRouche or know LaRouche and talked to him and so forth. It's interesting, all over the place. Actually, LaRouche came and talked to my father once. Spent I think about a day with him. It's very difficult to know. I mean, he does not seem. This is the question. It looks to me like he does not fit on any of our political equations or categories. Ian, what do you think? Is he a part of what's going on in this dimension, or is he from another dimension?
He's kind of between dimensions. That's why he never really fits. And he has lots to say. He's so sincere. Oh, my stars. He thinks he's right or on or together or something. I mean, you just can't get much more deluded when they started poisoning the money that's going to affect you. I mean, this just goes on and on and then down to the point where the money that you spend is going to come back and put the contaminant agent in your system and kill you anyway. It's just a little bit too far out even for sane folks. But that setting aside, he doesn't fit in either world. So he would be sitting under the belly of the Jabberwocky.
Jabberwocky. Mm-hmm. T.S. Eliot. I mean,
all right, so how...
That brought me a funny T.S. Eliot. That's so funny.
Yeah. Hollow Man. I thought Jabberwocky was Hollow Man.
How very Joycean of you.
Here's one. Somebody who is no longer with us, George Lincoln Rockwell. Where would you put him? Is he close to LaRouche? Is he
Boston.
Between
Boston.
Dimensions?
He's Boston.
Did you say East Boston or he's in Boston?
No. He's in which quadrant? He's Boston. The band.
I don't get that one, but...
More Than a Feeling.
More Than a Feeling, that song, by Boston. So Rockwell had great feeling?
Foreplay, Long Time, Marathon Bombing, Accent.
Did you ever meet him, Jim?
No, he was dead before I even was aware that he existed. No, that's not quite true. Anyway, just following up on the LaRouche issue, if LaRouche is out kind of in a limbo, if there's kind of a limbo framework that a bunch of people seem to occupy, and I just think Rockwell just came into my mind. You said something, Ian, before when with the other person on about Merkel. What's your take on Merkel?
I heard him say earlier that Merkel wanted to rule the world.
She about does today.
She does rule or she wants to rule?
She does right now. She has more testicles than your sitting president.
What's your take on her as far as, if LaRouche is in limbo and there's people ascending and there's people who are... the humanity is ascending, is moving forward. Where does she fit in that framework?
She is a balance. We've done this several times. We've had the same conversation when every time it comes up to trying to save the euro, and Bob knows it's done, she knows it's done, everybody knows it's done. And she's a long time forever trying not to bring back the drachma, because then that's the next thing that goes to Italy, and the next thing that the IMF can't handle, and Janet Yellen's having the cow already anyway, and your little buddy is having troubles anyway, or Lou, but got all he can do. But without deferring it any further, she's just trying to make their GDP match their GNP so that they don't lose either. at this stage of the game, Deutschland falls today.
Did you just say, Ion, that Deutsche Bank falls today?
Not Deutsche Bank, Deutsche Lane falls unless she's successful.
Would you comment on whether she would be successful or you'd prefer not to influence?
Well, we know how it's going to go. If you're holding euros, you're a fool anyway.
Don't hold euros.
Well, long.
Okay, Jim, next.
I was just asking the prognosis on the euro. I think we just got it, right?
We did that 3 years ago, did we not, Bob?
Yes, you did. But you're saying you can engage those, but you what, drop them, short them, and you keep shifting with
Dump
them?
Dump them. Dump them. Mm-hmm.
But you said something about long. Don't hold them on long. So you could buy, if I dump them, someone could buy them, and then they should dump them quite quickly. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes. Now you're going to push everybody back to the dollar. And that's the problem because you got the dollars already rich. You're making the dollar so valuable that you heat up the other economy. See, it's always, they're always running to. They're not running from. They're running to. So that makes a whole other set of problems. See?
So a bunch of people are arguing for the gold standard. Does that make any sense?
Nope. There's not enough gold to do that.
Is there any species that there's enough of to do something like the gold standard with?
Well, do it with debt. That's what you've done now. Did it with debt.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that word.
Debt.
Debt.
That's what money is. That's how you did it. There's enough debt to do it. So do it with debt. You ask if there's any element that you can do the gold standard, and the answer is debt.
How does that work?
You print money and say, I owe it to you. And you pass that money for debt in exchange for debt.
Okay.
Someone's going to pay me for this, and this is what that payment's going to be for. And you can take this down to the store, and they'll give you food on debt.
Does that put the debt holder in a powerful position compared to the person who has taken the debt?
Now we're back to the negotiating, aren't we?
Is there any role for negotiating? That's, I think, what I was getting at.
Well, it's turning into a world where it's in debt we trust.
Isn't debt just another currency?
That's what we just said.
All right, let's try another person. Hillary Clinton. Where is she in the framework?
Well, scarily. It's going to be interesting to see the Hatfields and the McCoys at it again.
Did you say scarily? S-C-A-R-I-L-Y?
That's what I heard.
Mm-hmm.
And who is the Hatfields against her?
Bush.
The Obamas?
Bush.
Bush.
Oh, Bush.
Bush. I mean, they all sleep together. They all are just the closest of friends. Don't flip the script on that. They're close, but it's now a new fight between the Hatfields and the McCoys, and the Prescott's coming back out, Bob. Don't you worry. They're coming. They're bringing a checky book. They're going to give him some cash and money. It's going to be wonderful.
Who's coming back?
Prescott.
Did I hear him? No, Prescott. Okay, does this go back to George Bush, the senior, supported Nixon during Watergate, and Hillary's on the team that Watergate at Nixon. Is that part of the Bush-Clinton fight? Does it go back that far?
Yes.
It goes back further, doesn't it?
At least that far.
Hillary's father, Ines told us, was very involved in opening up China. That's why so much of what's happened in the last 40 years comes out of Hillary. So does it go back to something to do with what her father did, this battle? Maybe with the old Bush-Rockefeller clan or something, Ion? Does it involve that level of power in conflict?
We say yes, but that, but then you would accuse us of embracing a glib, cliche archetype, and we don't want to do that.
If one wants to think that, there's a case for it, but you would suggest not thinking in such a dull black and white scenario.
Well, it's never black or white. Next thing you know, the Nixonites, you've gone so far along that all of a sudden now you're saying that Jimmy Carter was a good president.
Yeah, imagine but that. You did start off saying Hatfields versus the McCoys. Isn't that black and white?
No. It's not a black hat or a white hat. It's that there's the battle. They're going to fight. The fight's all. Good or bad doesn't have anything to do with it.
Do you suggest humans not engage that fight? Ignore it as much as possible?
Right. Get out of Alberta as quickly as you can.
Okay, back to you, Jim.
I was going to ask about the Walker Bush alliance that started in the First World War. What's your take on that and how that plays out? Is that part of what's going on today?
We think it's wonderful.
Well, who's Prescott when you say Prescott's coming back, Ion?
That's Bush's father.
Is he able from beyond the grave to influence events, Ion?
He's not in the grave, Bob.
Oh, he faked his death?
He didn't die.
So he's still advising his sons and grandsons.
And great-grandsons.
Has Hillary got grandparents helping her?
No, they're like slugs. They're not real people. They're just slugs.
Was Prescott Bush a secret CIA agent?
Well, if he was secret, he wasn't very good at it.
There are four numbered CIA agents, and we supposedly know the names of three of them. We don't know the name of the fourth one, and that's what I'm asking, is that Prescott Bush?
Samuel Prescott Bush.
What's your question, Jim? There's four, and we don't have the fourth Bush? Is that what you're saying?
There's one hidden CIA guy, supposedly, that we don't know the name of. And there's speculation that it was Prescott Bush, and I'm just asking whether that is true.
And he's saying the name is Samuel Prescott Bush.
And is he the agent?
Yeah, at 173 Adams Street in Milton, Massachusetts.
Was George H.W. Bush, the guy that became president, present in Dallas the day Kennedy was shot?
Yes, and his mother was Dorothy Walker Bush.
Did he have foreknowledge of the assassination, Ion?
We don't want to make it be about that.
Well, people make a lot out of the Zapata oil company, and that was his company, and that involved Cuba. Is it logical to assume that he had a stake in the issue? A stake in relation to whether Kennedy was eliminated or not?
You mean Burt Walker.
Right. Now, when you say that George Bush was in Dallas, well, he worked in that area. It's no big deal. You know, my uncle was in Dallas. It doesn't mean he's implied, Jim.
You were there too, weren't you, Bob, when you shot the president?
Yeah. Well, I had foreknowledge. I knew.
He burned a book on the grassy knoll that was in the repository, and it was with the butler in the pipe in the library. That's right. We got it.
He's referring to old lines over the years, Jim. Don't get distracted. What's your logical question?
Well, I just wanted to just put in the mix the Zapata Oil Company. You're saying it was Bush's company, but wasn't it actually a CIA front?
It belonged to George Herbert Burt Walker.
George Herbert Burt Walker.
Nickname was Burt.
That's for the president. Right? That's for
that's
the first Bush president?
That's who owns Zapata. Let me look him up. I mean, George, he's the original guy.
My understanding is that Zapata was set up by the CIA. And it supplied a bunch of the support for the Bay of Pigs invasion.
Okay, so George Herbert Burt Walker, that's how it's written in the wiki, 1875 to 1953. His daughter, Dorothy, married Prescott Bush, making him the maternal grandfather of former President George Bush and younger Bush. You said Prescott Bush is still around, Ion. Is George Herbert Burt Walker still influencing?
That's different. That's not the same one. That's not. You're talking about different things, Bob. Samuel Prescott Bush, his wife was Dorothy Walker Bush. Burt was Dorothy's brother. They had a little concerned, a Harriman and Company.
Right. Samuel was 1863 to 1948.
Okay.
Jim, have you ever heard the rumor that the old President Bush's, the senior president, his wife, Dorothy Bush, is that her name? Barbara Bush. Was fathered by Aleister Crowley, and I think Ion agreed with that. Did you agree with that, Ion? Still?
You can't agree
still?
With that. We're unagreeable. We're unagreeable.
I didn't hear that.
He said they're unagreeable. You can't agree with Ion. They're like John Roberts. They don't have an opinion. So Ion, is the father of Barbara Bush, the old lady with the pearls, is the father Aleister Crowley of Barbara Bush?
Marvin Pierce.
Marvin Pierce is the father?
Yep.
Marvin Pierce, okay.
He owns my house.
Wait. Marvin Pierce does, okay.
He owns what?
McCall's. The magazine, is that what that is? What is McCall's? That's in Canada, right, Carol? So
well,
what's
McCall's? Red Book, McCall's. It's their publishing corporation.
Red Book, okay.
And McCall's.
Who owns that?
Marvin Pierce, the father of Barbara Bush, Marvin Pierce.
All right, let me go back. Bush Sr., the president, the father of the younger president, worked in a company in Cleveland for 9 months after graduating from college, and that was a CIA front. Are you familiar with that, and what does that mean? Is that real? Is that true?
Let's just see if Ian's still there.
We're here.
Well, when you're silent, are you thinking, coming up with an answer, or are you waiting for more words?
Neither.
You're not going to answer that question? If he was CIA in that early postgraduate situation, is that due to connections made in the Skull and Bone Society, which he apparently was a member of?
No.
Why would he be interested in joining the CIA or working with the CIA, Ion?
Just fine.
Was Skull and Bones the cover for the Bay of Pigs invasion?
Nah. That's all over with now. Everybody's going to Cuba now. That's all done.
So it was true at the time.
Mm-hmm.
What did you say, Jim? You brought in the Skull and Bones. What was it a cover for?
The Bay of Pigs invasion.
Was a cover for Skull and Bones, and he's saying that was the case back then.
Skull and Bones was
now.
The cover for the Bay of Pigs. They ran all the money and everything through the Skull and Bones to support the Bay of Pigs.
Do you agree
invasion.
With that, Ion? Do you see that happening, Ion? Did that happen?
Not so much.
So what did you say yes to a few minutes ago? Okay, so it's not a cover. Skull and Bones did not launder the money for the operation, Ion. You're adamantly clear on that point, right?
Who cares?
Well, who are you to determine what we care? This guy's asking about it. Requiring a factual response. You're just little old non-physical ion. We're gods. Why wouldn't you do our bidding when we ask a question? I'm starting to sulk now, Jim. Don't know if we're going to get much further. Try the next question, Jim.
Well, I just wanted to say I put that question on the table following up your question about Bush having been in Skull and Bones before he went to Cleveland. That's how I got to that.
Try a different topic completely. Let's get off that.
Monsanto. What's your take on Monsanto's role in this dimension? What's happening?
Let me see if Ian's still here. Ian has gone, so we have to take a break. Ian should be back.
So, Jim, this is Ginny. How did you come to make the acquaintance of Bob? You've been talking to him. He introduced you to Ian. What's your background?
A mutual friend of ours said, hey, I think it would be great for you guys to and me, but my mutual friend and a couple of other folks, to get together and converse on the phone for a couple of hours every 2 weeks. And that was about, three, 4 months ago, and we've been doing that ever since.
And Jim was a friend of Carolyn's. Carolyn brought me in.
That's right. I was a friend of Carolyn's for many years, like at least 15 years, and had followed her work and knew what she was doing, and we'd done some things together. And, in fact, I think, now that you mentioned it, Bob, that's correct. Our mutual friend said, why don't we get together, since we all knew each other, the friend and Carolyn and I. In that conversation, the idea of bringing you in is what happened, and that's how we got introduced.
What was your interest initially in the vaccine issue? Are you part of California, or do you see it as a bigger issue, or that's what you got out with?
I see it as a bigger issue, and if I'm going to talk about it on this plane, I think it's an important issue for individual rights and making the best health decisions. I'm definitely not a fan of government ordering people to do things. I think that it's just a matter of practical progress that doesn't work. Government ordering people to do stuff does not come out with the right results. I would say it pretty much ever, but I always leave a little bit of wiggle room to say maybe somewhere once there was a time when, or maybe in the future there will be, when the government can order something that will turn out okay. But for the most part, it seems to me that it's a very bad thing to do mandating of a health intervention like vaccines.
Jim goes back 50 years. He was a Nader raider. He was a lawyer working with Ralph Nader, got disillusioned in the 70s with Nader, went on his own, has been a lawyer in the protecting individual freedom of health for many decades.
Jim, are you part of the Health Freedom Expo?
I have been, yeah. I've given talks there, and I do work on that. But I want to go back and say one thing. I didn't get so much disillusioned with Nader, as it just seemed to me that the realities and the events were larger than what he was addressing, particularly in the early to mid-70s when he began to be more political. I felt that the issues that needed to be addressed weren't going to be addressed in that forum. So, yes, I am a part of the Health Freedom Network and Health Freedom Expos and all of that activity. Yep, that's what I do.
So now you've talked with Ian, and I'm sure you got some preliminary kind of presentation from Bob or Carolyn saying, well, you know, Ian would say this, Ian would say that. Now that you've talked with Ian, what was your experience like?
Yeah, I would say that it's the toe-in-the-water, door-opening experience. And I'll probably be processing it for quite a while. I'm comparing and contrasting what I'm hearing from Ian from what I hear from other sources that are from other dimensions, there seems to be, a lot of fitting together, and then there's a lot of nuance that I need to grasp. I need to understand who or what or where Ian is from.
And when you talk about other sources, non-physical sources or spiritual sources, as you would say, which would be your primary go-to as of this moment in time? Like if you had to say a source, what would you say would be?
I don't have a primary go-to source. I think of it more like a puzzle, like a jigsaw puzzle that has pieces on the table. And I see the totality of the pieces putting together And some of the information I'm presented with is not identified with any external source by specific name or origin, but by a form. And it has a lot to do with things that I've heard Bob talk about ions saying and some of the things I heard tonight. I just heard a tiny little bit tonight. I haven't really, you know, really just getting started and figuring out, you know, how the ions piece fits in all of this.
I understand what you're saying, like puzzle pieces. If somebody would have asked me that question before I kind of got involved with Bion, I probably would have said, you know, Jeffrey Hoppe and the Crystal Circle and this and that and so on. I would have said four or five different things. So is there a channeler or some other kind of group or thought form or stream that you kind of tap into that you're kind of evaluating, not you said weighing ion kind of up against or saying, well, this kind of fit, but then this was different. I guess where's the comparative point?
It wasn't that I was weighing them against or in any way. It's like when I'm looking at a jigsaw puzzle and I see the outlines of the pieces and I say, this one looks like it might fit there, but then it turns out that it doesn't, and then some are straight edge and some aren't, and they have different colors and so on. None of them, it isn't like one piece is better than the other or anything like that. It's that they fit together. Now, one of the things my experience has been over time, my interaction with the nonverbal energetic reality is far more with unnamed and unidentified sources than with identified sources. And I just want to be really as concrete as I can. Very, very specific information, very, very much like what Bob says he gets from ION, comes from these sources, and I'm not sure of where they come from or how they work, and they don't necessarily have names. And when I've seen the names emerge, there are names that emerge that seem to me that once they become identified, once they become named, they are less than they were before they were named.
So what I heard, and I want to make sure, you're saying nonverbal sources of information that you've been able to pick up on, and this information is coming to you through your force field. So you're just picking up on information.
No. He has told me there are other sources, mediums that he engages.
Yes. But I would say both of those things. What I would say is both of those things, both what you said, and then what Bob is saying, it's almost like that stuff is coming along the way that you described it, as I think was a fair restatement of what I said. And there is like a magnifying glass that focuses it. I mean, I spent 5 hours the other afternoon with the person who's a very well-credentialed, very mainstream, down-to-earth, solid person as far as the world's concerned. But what I heard was every bit as penetrating and remarkable as what Bob has told me Ion has said. I haven't gotten to that point in the Ion conversation. Yeah, this is the first time I've ever talked with Ion. But I would suspect, or I would not be surprised, if I heard from Ion some of the very same things that I heard from the person that I talked to. But he does not reference his knowledge to any specific named source. It's a dimensional source. It's like from the, you know, fifth, sixth, or seventh dimension. And
okay.
Not with the
okay.
Name. And not, got it?
Okay. I understand what you're saying. So it sounded to me as I was listening to you talk with Ion that you were able to embrace some of the things that Ion said, like, for example, the position about vaccines and things. But then you did say, well, how's everybody going to get caught up to that? And Ion said, no, we see everybody already there. You know, everybody is ascended, and we're not going to contend for that limitations. It sounded to me in a little bit like you were trying to make it all make sense for the masses. And I guess I'm wondering, did it make sense for you individually?
Well, first of all, yes. But I need to say that generally speaking, if I hear something, my presumption is that if something is spoken, it makes sense. And my responsibility is to figure out what sense it makes. I'm just letting you know that's one of my operating principles. And further, the very specific things, I mean, I noted that Ion on the one hand said everybody should go ahead and take the shot, and then within, you know, 10 minutes he was saying everybody should resist the shot. And see, the weirdest thing about all of that is it's probably the same position.
That's right.
And,
it's just the two sides, same coin.
And see, and that's what I think the fundamental reality that we're dealing with is. And what I was trying to explore on that set of questions was, how does the dimension that humanity is on now, and I got the point that humanity is an entity that is operating and it's a whole. So there's not really, an ahead and a behind. It's just it's a whole. It's a whole solid or, whole energetic reality. But the question that I'm still working on, and the one that got me into the first conversations with Carolyn and Bob, is with humanity ascending, how does an individual relate to that reality? And first of all, I am clear and have been clear for, 70 years that the conflict is a cost, is an expense. It doesn't really help us very much. Maybe it can't be avoided in some situations, but generally speaking, the people in a conflict are enabling each other, and that pretty much holds back everything if it can be held back. I mean, I'm not at all sure that, pretty much I think we're going to get where we're going to get, and the only issue that I think the activism side works on is what's the collateral damage, and Ian is saying from what I could tell today that the collateral damage issue is not all that important, that we're all going to go get there anyway. It's all going to happen the way it's going to happen, but I don't know if I'm getting more involved in the answer than you expected with the question, but what I heard from Ion fitted into everything else I'm hearing, to put it that way.
So you're hearing that basically Ion's repeating similar things or resonating or saying things that you've already been contemplating or embracing, and the new piece for you was...
What he's trying to say is call it a proflict instead of a conflict.
Good, very good.
And
are
what's
you aware
a
of the source that Jim's talking about, Ion?
The opposite of a conflict.
Are you aware of the source that Jim addressed the other day, the person?
Yeah.
What would you say you present differently from that source?
Legitimacy.
Are you saying you're illegitimate and Jim's source is legitimate, right?
No.
Or vice versa.
No. No. We would never listen to people who thought we were right.
So you're saying Jim's source is illegitimate?
Basically, yes.
You asked about that, Jim.
Ask what? I thought that was the answer.
What are you engaging? No, he's saying it's illegitimate. You have the right to query him to prove it or to back it up because he's putting.
Well, I don't care. I mean, I listen to a gazillion things. I so far don't see a conflict between what I was hearing then and what I would have been hearing from Ion. I don't see a conflict.
Let's get into that. Let's try to figure out what's different from what Ion's saying than what the source is. Find out what Ion says is the difference. It's an important question.
Okay. I'm happy to hear the answer to that.
Well, make it specific. Say something about what that person says, and then we'll see what Ion says about that idea or notion.
That's the tricky problem, because I can assure you that what I hear in words from the person that I was talking to is less than what I get from a nonverbal presentation that that person makes. And so it's very difficult for me to convey that in this conversation. But the source that I was talking to is very persuasive on the existence of unlimited sources of energy that are within grasp and being able to be manifested in a usable way within reasonable time, sometime in the next, 10 to 100 years. I don't see time as being a key part of all of that. But what I heard in that conversation tracked what I've heard you, Bob, tell me from conversations you've had with Ion. That's all I was saying. And I have, over the years, had a number of presentations of that kind. My point is I have not heard them conflict.
Well, Ion, could you clarify what that person is referring to when they say advanced technology and what we're doing? What's the difference?
It's stuff that they heard from us is what they're quoting.
Quite possible, and I believe me, I tell you, when I was sitting in that conversation, I went right to that question, that possibility, because of the way that was presented.
Did you say, hey, are you getting this from Ion? Did you ask them late?
I don't know, because that's not the way I communicate with Matt. I mean,
right.
Generally speaking, I do not communicate that way with that kind of information. Because, first of all, as soon as you verbalize it, in my experience, it's less than it is before it's verbalized. So I've talked to this person for probably 15 years, and the data or information I've gotten far exceeds anything that could be written down and presented in words.
Ion, is that person that Jim's talking about listening to our show right now?
No, not right now.
Do they listen to recordings, or do they have other people listen to recordings and pass on the information to Jim's source?
They listen to the archives.
How old is this person, Jim?
That's a very interesting question. I would say by, human years, 60, roughly.
Right.
But I can also tell you that over the time I've known this person, they are articulating to me now a sense of actually becoming younger and actually looks younger on the basis of information that they've received from their sources. Here's something we can check. Way back in the 90s, I've known this person before the 90s, but way back in the 90s, when data or information began to become much more robust, they gave me three Bible verses and said, what we're getting is the information that explains these three Bible verses. And there are three places in the Bibles where a person died and then came back to life. One was Lazarus. It turns out that that's not that uncommon an event in that period of history.
It's not on today. Try to die in ICU. It's almost impossible.
I buy that totally.
No, Jim, what he said was try to die in an ICU. I said they can keep you alive forever there. I said that before.
Well, but also you used way back in the previous with Tim, you said this is the first time in history that humans have been alive. So there's a question about what we mean by alive.
Can live. Yeah, can live.
Can live. But I'm just saying there's not like a switch. You turn it on, you're dead. You turn it off, you're dead. You turn it on, you're alive. There's a lot more to it than that.
Tell us what more is there?
We are intrigued. We are intrigued.
What would be more than that, switching it off and then switching it back on?
If you're in the ICU, I mean, first of all, look, just in the concrete world, there's a whole big battle that goes on, bizarrely, because, humans seem to want to fight about everything, between brain death and basically heart beating death. You can have your heart beat and be so-called alive and your brain be dead. And they argue about whether that's being alive or not. And operationally, probably, if you look at it, people are in various stages of being alive.
Jane Brady had half a mind not to come.
Who did, Ion?
James Brady.
Oh, Jim, James Brady, who you quote often, had half a mind not to come. What do you make about that distinction between the brain death and the heart death, Ion? Is that significant to you?
The brain is already dead. It's all dead. That has nothing to do with living. The autonomic response is the only thing the brain is good for. The thinking, theta, level, living, that's not really living.
Bob, I have to go off for 1 minute. I'll be right back.
Okay. So, Ion, you're saying the brain is already dead in a fully functioning 20-year-old?
Mm-hmm.
And it's preferred to keep it inactive and let it just monitor the autonomic? Is that what it's for?
Mm-hmm.
Did the printing press get people very involved in the brain in a sidebar activity, which Ion doesn't recommend?
We'd say yes.
Did you say you do say yes?
Yes, we say yes. We would say yes if you asked us yes. So
right, I was just saying everyone is brain dead, and that's a good thing, is what Ion just said. Yeah, go ahead, Jim.
It is not.
I can't remember exactly how we got into being alive or not alive issue.
Well, the heart. it's an IC unit, the ICU place, and then brain dead and heart dead.
But if you're in the ICU and the way that Ian is describing it, you're dead, brain dead. I mean, that's just the way it is because you're brain dead before you went in the ICU. So if everyone's brain dead, that gets us past one of the major issues that has to do with life and death. Now, when you say this is the first time human beings can be fully alive, are you saying, or is Ian saying, that the brain is coming back to life?
No. We're saying that you are coming into a place of actual living.
With a dead brain?
It's not a dead brain. You don't need to think. You need the brain.
I got you. Okay, I got it. Yeah.
Function.
Well, that's kind of, that's parallel to what I'm saying about communicating with the sources that people come to me with. As soon as it gets into words and articulated and so forth, it loses an enormous amount of its vitality.
Not with Ion. Ion adds vitality to those words.
We are.
That's a new experience. That's a new experience for me, which you've been touting on me for quite a while.
Right.
And part of the reason I called today.
Right. And what did you just say, Ion? We are what?
Literal.
We are literal.
Sometimes guttural.
Bob, I look forward to to doing some more of these conversations, and unfortunately, I do need to go now.
Okay,
this is very, very eye-opening.
Next week.
Au revoir, mes amis.
Good. Au revoir.
Au revoir, mes amis.
And thank you very much for your time, Ian, and Bob, and everyone else, and I'll try to hook in here next week in some way.
Well, thanks for engaging.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay.